Roger Federer was a very different Roger Federer to the man who will be taken to court later on today. Tennis promoter Bruce Davidson joins me on the line now. Bruce, a very good morning and welcome to the show.
Thanks so much. It's good to be on the show.
Am I being hopeful in hoping that this will be ninth time for Federer later on today when he takes on Djokovic, the number one seed?
I think that you've got a very good chance of maybe getting excited for the Swiss man. He's playing an incredible game of tennis, and the grass court is playing in his favour. But however, saying that, we do know that Djokovic is the world number one. He is in a very, very confident space in the tournament at the moment, having played such brilliant tennis, getting to the final, where a lot of hard work has had to be done by Roger Federer, especially in that semi-final against Rafa Nadal. And, you know, age isn't on his side. But yesterday it was very interesting at Wimbledon to see Roger Federer have a very light warm-up. He was only on the court for about 20 minutes, where Djokovic spent nearly 2 hours on court training ahead of today's final. It's going to be a very, very tall task for Roger to win today. But the court, as I said, is playing in his favour, as the court did with Simona Halep yesterday.
What do you mean by that, Bruce? If you can just expand on it, what is the court doing that is in favour for Roger Federer later on today?
Well, it's been a very dry Wimbledon. There's been no rain, so the court's playing faster. It's a bit harder, and the bounce of the ball is a bit higher, which all is very much in Roger Federer's favour. You must remember that Roger Federer, if we go into this match, is more the serve and volley guru.
Correct.
He's the one that's got the aggression in his normal game, where Djokovic is quite a strong defender, very clever player. But once again, as I said, because the court, and we saw it in the men's doubles yesterday, which I sat through, because South Africa's Jeff Kutsia coached the winners, the eventual winners, that court is very dry, and it's the bounce is high, and that's what Roger Federer likes. And it was very much against Nadal, because Nadal doesn't like it to be as high, bouncy. He likes it to be low, a little bit slower, where Roger's enjoying this pace of the ball coming off the court. So it's a technical issue, but it's a very spoken about issue at Wimbledon, and it was, as I said, one of the main reasons that Halep was able to dominate so much in her singles match against Serena Williams.
Yes, I mean, that was almost shocking to witness, actually, because Simona Halep made Serena Williams look like a rookie at centre court in a final yesterday.
Absolutely, you know, and we've now realised that the importance of the Halep-type tennis in order to succeed as a player. She's got a lot of variety in her game. I think that Simona Halep should have won plenty more Grand Slams. She's been that unlucky bridesmaid, if we can put it like that, you know, in her career. And I think after she won her first Grand Slam, she's got that added confidence to be able to do what she did yesterday so well. She really dominated and was able to just dictate every single point. I thought it would be a three-setter, and most of my colleagues at Wimbledon thought it was going to be a three-setter. And we actually didn't think that Serena would beat Halep, but we didn't think it would be such a walkover like you put. It was really a dominant display by Halep, but a very, very welcome a win for Halep. I think it's given the game of tennis a nice new champion. It's the first time Romania, a country which very few people know too much about. And in England, Romania hasn't got a very nice taste because most of the Romanians and Poles are taking all the jobs here. So it was very nice that a Romanian, like in the men's doubles, the Colombians, all of a sudden have these huge titles and just gives the game in their country such a welcome boost.
And what a charming champion. I mean, I suppose both Simona and Serena in her sort of on-court interview really praising her style of play. It was really just delightful to witness, I must say.
I thought that was fantastic. And I think that that a lot of people haven't realized what a wonderful woman Simona Halep is. She's a really fitting top Grand Slam player and world champion and number one. She does the game such justice. And as I said, I think there's going to be a little bit more coming from Simona Halep. She's a late bloomer, and she has missed out so many times with Grand Slams. Everybody was wondering if she would ever win a Grand Slam, funny enough. And, you know, winning Wimbledon, the biggest tournament by far, when it comes to stature-wise, once you've won a Wimbledon title, you almost, you know, put yourself into another league of tennis life, and it gives you so much confidence, and you just walk around, just you've won a Wimbledon. It's just quite incredible.
Indeed. And I imagine the fact that she's not world number one at the moment eases the pressure even that much more. We saw with Naomi Osaka, she went into the French Open being world number one and being the defending champion, and that just added a lot of pressure onto what was already a questionable game at that time. And we saw that playing itself out in Wimbledon as well.
Well, you've hit the nail on the head. And funny enough, yesterday at Wimbledon, I was having lunch with Wayne Ferreira and Naomi Osaka's agent, Stuart Duggett, and he was just saying that the pressure was eventually what got to Naomi. And that, I think, is a very important factor that you mentioned. You know, a lot of players come under pressure. Pressure is an incredible, ugly word in the game of tennis. You can be as talented as you are, you can win like Naomi Osaka back-to-back Grand Slams, but unless you can handle the pressure, and she was just so pressurized going into France, going into Wimbledon, especially Wimbledon, because nobody knew how she was going to manage the grass, and she just felt that it was just too much for her. And she actually said to Stuart, and he told me this, that she was quite relieved she had lost, because she felt now people would see her as a human and not just a machine.
Indeed. Back to the men this afternoon. Roger Federer has certainly had the more difficult route to the championship final later on today. Djokovic, in fact, this afternoon will be playing for the first time in this tournament anyone who has been seeded in the top 10, which is unheard of, right? To get to the final and not having played any of the top players, at least top seeds, in Wimbledon.
Yeah. Absolutely. I think you know, this is where the controversy came in with the seeding system. And Roger Federer, you know, was very, very lucky to have been given the nod by the Wimbledon committee and get seeded higher than his world ranking, as was Kevin Anderson. But, you know, it has two advantages. And Djokovic has definitely capitalized on the advantage of not having the more difficult players within his half of the draw. But, you know, Roger Federer will be a more better prepared player going into the final from playing harder tennis and more difficult tennis and being on court longer than Novak Djokovic is. However, we did speak about this early in the interview. How tired is Roger? Mm. Because he has really been playing a lot, and he's not a young man anymore. He is young, but he's not young in tennis terms. And I think that plays quite an important role as well, because at the end of the day, the last Sunday of the championships, it's the fitter man that's going to really have the advantage, and we all know how fit Novak Djokovic is. He is extremely fit. and he's looking very lean, I think he's got a little bit of advantage in that regard, having not played that much tennis, but the disadvantage is that he hasn't been challenged enough, and it might become a bit too much going against the Roger Federer, who is going to be a real big challenge. The man is so hungry to win another Wimbledon title, and we saw the relief and the excitement after beating Rafa Nadal in that semi-final.
And of course, the challenge for both men is that they know each other so well. We saw that in the semi-final on Friday between Nadal and Federer, where that first, let me repeat the statement, if you are teaching anyone how to play tennis, if you have any interest in playing tennis, take that first set of that semi-final on Friday and have a person watch it time and time again. Because there you had two different kinds of tennis players who intimately know each other's style of play, playing in one of the greatest tournaments, obviously, that the tennis world has to offer. And Federer, thankfully, was victorious. Then he went on to lose the second set 6-1. And you think, what is going on here? It took 5 match points for him to actually finally convert and be the winner, who then goes on to the final, which highlights, I suppose, some of my concerns with Federer's play. His serve is amazing, really, really good when he gets it in. And I don't think he's been getting enough first serves into the other side of the net to be an arsenal that's strong enough against Djokovic. Once he gets those serves in, he's winning 90% and above of those points. So he needs to get that first serve in and then go on and win the point, which is amazing. And unfortunately, Bruce, we've seen a lot of unforced errors coming off the hand of Federer in this tournament.
Yes, and I think, you know, the game at the moment is really dominated by the top three players. And if you look at all the big titles that have been won in the last few years, they share most of them. There's going to be such a sad vacuum once Federer, Djokovic and Nadal quit the game. I know that the ATP would love them to play forever because it's very good for the TV ratings. But we are very concerned as tennis promoters that there's actually nothing coming through. And, you know, the quality of tennis in that semi-final, as you highlighted, was something quite unbelievable. And also, it was very unusual to see how Roger Federer was able to manage himself in all sorts of situations, which shows you what a real true champion is. Because to have to lose a set 6-1 and then still come back and win the match, you've got to have all sorts of magic in you, because it's not easy to come back against someone like Rafael Nadal, who I would take into any war with me as my front soldier, and do what he did. But once again, I think that the thing I need to highlight to your listeners is the way the court is playing is very much in Roger's favour. And if he does get his first serve percentage up there, it's going to be a very, very good advantage for him against Djokovic. But the one thing that we also must realise, and you highlighted this, the serve is very important in tennis, but the return is just as important. If you are a very good returner of the ball like Djokovic is, and one of the best returners in the game, top three probably in men's tennis, your chances of breaking serve are so much stronger. And I think that is why Roger Federer is hoping to go into the final today serving really, really well, because if he doesn't, he's going to come short.
Well, good luck to both gentlemen. And Bruce, you'll be lucky enough to be at that center court watching that final. Thank you very much for your time this morning. Bruce Davidson is a tennis promoter in Wimbledon right now. We'll be watching the final of the gentlemen's singles at the championship, involving, of course, world number one and number one seed Djokovic, and world number three and number two seed for this tournament, Federer.